one perfect life, Jesus the Messiah.
Jesus was made to lie on the ground while his arms were stretched out and nailed to the horizontal beam that he carried, then hoisted up and fastened to the vertical beam. Jesus could hang in the hot sun for hours, if not days. Terrible muscle spasms racked his entire body. They gave him sour wine mingled with gall to drink. But when he had tasted it, he would not drink it. There, they crucified him.
Join us in this dramatic Easter presentation with pastor, teacher, and author John MacArthur, with scripture from the four Gospels dramatically depicting the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Follow Jesus the Messiah in his word-for-word scripture presentation from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. One perfect life.
This is John MacArthur. Over the course of my ministry, I've spent decades studying, preaching, and writing commentaries on the four Gospels. Nothing comes close to the rich reward of understanding the truth and glory of Christ's matchless life. Together, the four Gospels weave a complete portrait of Jesus of Nazareth. In Jesus were blended perfect humanity and deity, making him the only sacrifice for the sins of the world and the worthy Lord of those who believe.
Those who had laid hold of Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where all the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes were assembled.
Tell us, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?
It is as you said. I am. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of the power of God and coming on the clouds of heaven.
What further need do we have of witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy he has spoken. What do you think?
And some began to spit in his face, and to blindfold him, and to beat him. And after a little while, when Peter had gone out to the gateway, the servant girl saw him.
This is one of them. Hey, this fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. You're not also one of his disciples, are you?
I am not. I do not know the man.
A little later, after about an hour had passed, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, "Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech betrays it." Another confidently affirmed, saying, "Surely this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." One of the servants of the high priest said, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?"
"Man, I do not know what you are saying. I do not know this man of whom you speak."
And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him,
"Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times."
And when he thought about it, Peter went out and wept bitterly.
All four Gospels record Peter's betrayal. It was Luke who records that Jesus made eye contact with Peter, an intent, fixed look. It must have magnified Peter's already unbearable sense of shame. It says he went out and wept bitterly. In that instant, the true Peter is seen not in his denial, but in his repentance. And we're reminded of not only our own weakness, but also the richness of God's grace in his Son, Jesus Christ.
Immediately, when morning came, as soon as it was day, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. They came together and led Jesus into their council.
"If you're the Christ, tell us, are you then the Son of God?"
"You rightly say that I am."
"What further testimony do we need? For we have heard it ourselves from his own mouth."
And when they had bound Jesus, the whole multitude of them arose and led him away from Caiaphas to the Praetorium and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. And it was early morning. Pilate then went out to them.
What accusation do you bring against this man?
If he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you.
You take him and judge him according to your law.
And they began to accuse him.
Are you the king of the Jews?
Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?
Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?
My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now, my kingdom is not from here.
Are you a king then?
It is rightly as you say that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice.
And when he had said this, Pilate went out again to the Jews and said to the chief priests and the crowd, I find no fault in this man at all. But they were the more fierce, saying, He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee to this place. But Jesus answered him not one word, so that the governor marveled greatly. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked if the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. Now, when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he had desired for a long time to see him, because he had heard many things about him, and he hoped to see some miracle done by him. Then he questioned Jesus with many words, but Jesus answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. Then Herod, with his men of war, treated him with contempt and mocked him, arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him back to Pilate. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner, whomever they requested. And at that time, they had a notorious prisoner, a robber named Barabbas, who was chained with his fellow rebels. They had committed murder in a certain rebellion made in the city. When they had gathered together, the multitude, crying aloud, began to ask him to do just as he had always done for them.
You have a custom that I should release someone to you at Passover. Whom do you want me to release to you? Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ? Do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews?
Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him.
You have brought this man to me as one who misleads the people. And indeed, having examined him in your presence, I have found no fault in this man concerning those things of which you accuse him. No, neither did Herod, for I send you back to him, and indeed nothing deserving of death has been done by him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. Whom do you want me to release to you? Do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews?
So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe, saying,
Hail to the King!
Behold, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him.
Then Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe.
Behold, the man!
When Pilate heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again to the Praetorium and said to him, Where are you from? But Jesus gave no answer. Then Pilate said to him, Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you? Jesus answered, You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin. From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Now it was the preparation day of the Passover, and about the sixth hour.
Behold, your king.
Away with him.
Shall I crucify your king?
And the voices of these men and of the chief priests prevailed.
This is John MacArthur. Behold your king. Pilate's mocking tone implied that such a brutalized and helpless man was a fitting king for this frenzied crowd. And when Pilate saw he could not prevail with the crowd, he took water and washed his hands and said, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it. Scripture says, so Pilate, wanting to gratify the crowd, gave sentence that it should be as they requested. And he released to them Barabbas, the one they requested. Pilate's response, his desire to gratify the crowd, reveals his utter lack of principle, his utter lack of understanding who it was standing before him, his desire to please the leaders for political reasons, to save himself from Rome's displeasure, ultimately overcame his desire to set an innocent man free, to set Jesus free.
You're listening to pastor and author John MacArthur in this Easter special, One Perfect Life, dramatically portraying the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ from the pages of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
When Pilate had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to them to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus and led him away. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and they clothed him with purple, and when they had twisted the crown of thorns, they put it on his head, and a reed in his right hand, and began to salute him. Hail the King of the Jews! And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him. They spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the purple robe off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him away to be crucified. And he, bearing his cross, went out. Now, as they came out, they found a man, Simon by name, who was coming from the country and passing by. And on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And a great multitude of the people followed him, and women who also mourned and lamented him. And when they had come to a place called the Place of a Skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, they gave him sour wine mingled with gall to drink. Then they crucified him.
Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Now it was the third hour, and the people stood looking on. And the soldiers divided his garments and cast lots for them to determine what every man should take, that the scripture might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Now Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and they put up over his head the inscription of the accusation written against him, This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on his right and the other on his left, and Jesus in the center. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads.
You are the Son of God, come down from the cross.
He saved others, himself he cannot save.
The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him.
"If you are the Christ, save yourself and us. Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom."
"Assuredly, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise."
Now, from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, the sun was darkened. There was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice,
"Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? My God, why have you forsaken me?"
Some of those who stood there when they heard that said, "Look, this man is calling for Elijah." After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there. Immediately, one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed of hyssop, and put it to his mouth, and offered it to him to drink. The rest said, "Leave him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him and take him down." So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Having said this and bowing his head, he breathed his last and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened. When the centurion who stood opposite him and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw that he cried out like this and breathed his last, saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, glorified God, saying, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." Therefore, when evening had come, because it was the preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath, that the bodies should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled, "Not one of his bones shall be broken, and they shall look on him whom they pierced."
To bring death more quickly, soldiers would smash the legs of the victim with an iron mallet, bringing on shock and more loss of blood. The purpose, however, was to prevent the person on the cross from pushing with his legs to keep breathing. The victim would then die of asphyxiation. John quoted from the Old Testament that specified that no bone of the Passover lamb may be broken. And since the New Testament Gospels portray Jesus as the Passover lamb that takes away the sins of the world, you can see that these verses have special prophetic significance in depicting this one perfect life.
After this, behold, there was a man named Joseph, a rich man from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, a prominent council member, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, a good and just man, and a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews. Coming and taking courage, This man went to Pilate and asked that he might take away the body of Jesus. Pilate marveled that he was already dead, and summoning the centurion, he asked him if Jesus had been dead for some time. So when he found out from the centurion, Pilate gave him permission and commanded the body to be given to Joseph. So he came and took the body of Jesus. Now, in the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb. And Joseph laid him in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock, in which no one had yet been before. And he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. On the next day, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together to Pilate.
"Sir, we remember while he was still alive how that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Command the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say to the people, 'He has risen from the dead.'"
"You have a guard. Go your way. Make it as secure as you know how."
"For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men." Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early and saw the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. The other Mary and Salome and certain other women with them came to see the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. Entering the tomb, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they were greatly perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments.
"Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, for he is risen."
In the evening, being the first day of the week, the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood in the midst of them. They were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit.
"Why are you troubled? And why did doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have."
When he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet and his side. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, "Have you any food here?" So they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate in their presence. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Now Thomas, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came.
"We have seen the Lord."
"Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe."
After 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst.
"Peace to you. Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing."
"My Lord and my God."
"Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed."
And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. He is risen.
One Perfect Life. Thank you for being with us for this Easter special with pastor, teacher, and author John MacArthur.
Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling
and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.